after Shalom Aleichem, and we want to study the Meshech Chachma fundamentally for Parshas Nitzavim. We'll see if we could add something for Parshas Vayelech as well. The first piece in Parshas Nitzavim is on the Pasuk Rasheichem Shivtechem. So let's open up to the beginning of Nitzavim. So we'll have Emir Tzashem the Chumash here on one side, the Demesh HaChachma on the other side. And the Torah gives a list, and Rabbi Simcha is interested in the list and the sequence in the list. The list starts with Rasheichem, Shivtechem, Zikneichem, Vishotrechem, and then it goes on to call Ish Yisrael. And then it mentions Gercha, Asher, Bisharech, etc., etc. Liovrecha, Bibris, Hashem, Alokecha, Bolaso. So that's the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, and Rabbi Meir Simcha notices that we're going to divide the people of Israel into two general categories. One is the group, and the other is the individual. And Rasheichem, Shivtechem, etc., those represent the leaders of Klal Yisrael as a Klal. And they, of course, are responsible for the entire nation of Israel. And then the Pasuk identifies and singles out the individuals, Kol Ish V'Yisrael. Says Rabbi Simcha, we have to understand the relationship between the two. He says that there are mitzvos that are incumbent upon the klal, as a klal. He mentions one of them, and that's the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not Reuven, Shimon, or Levi, but the entire klal. Rav Sadia Gaon, who counts the Sefer HaMitzvos, he has as many as 35 mitzvos, 35 different parshios of Esim and Los Asim, that are given and incumbent upon the Tzibur. So when we get to Rasheichem, Shivtechem, we're talking about the Tzibur as a klal. But when we get to Kol Ish V'Yisrael, the Torah is signifying and singling out the Yachid, the individual, the Prat. And he says that according to Rashi, the reason why the Klal, Rasheichem, Shivtechem, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, come first in the sequence is because the Pasuk says, Li avrecha bibris Hashem elokecha ubi olaso. Olaso means a shvua. Now, the ability and the authority to impose a shvua rests in the hands of those leaders that represent the Klal. Inyan HaShvua, if you take a look at Parshas Matos, is L'Rashi HaMatos. So that if the purpose of this bris here at the beginning of Nitzavim is to enter into a covenant that is strengthened by a Shvua, that oath has to be imposed on the Yechidim through the power and the authority of the Tzibur. And that means the leaders of the Tzibur. And I would embellish this with my own footnote and say that any gzera, any enactment on the part of the Bezdin, the courts of Israel, the high courts of Israel, invested with the authority to enact something, and it becomes an integral part of Jewish law, and it generates an obligation for all of Klal Yisrael, not just in that generation, but for generations to come. So if the essential, critical part of this covenant, of this bris, is the oath, then it makes sense that the Torah would start with Rasheichem, Shivtechem, what we call Rashi HaMatos, because they have the authority to impose this oath. Now, we get to the Yachid. We have Ger Chasher Bekerv Machanecha. We have Chotev Eitzecha Shoev Meimecha. And all of these are listed in the grammatical singular. You have Chotev, Shoev, you have Ger. It doesn't say Gerchem, it says Gercha. That's one individual. Everything here, says Rabbi Simcha, is in contrast to the beginning of this whole sequence, which is written in Lashon Rabim. And now Rabbi Simcha turns his attention to the question, what is the relationship between the Rabim and the Yochid? And he emphasizes the following, if I could call it both hashkafic and perhaps also halachic principle. And that is that Yisrael mekusharim l'Hashem Yisparach v'hema kamo kavim el hamerkaz l'chein nechshavim kulam ki echot. He says the following, what's unique about the Jewish people, and he gives a mashal of a wheel that has many spokes and then there's a hub in the middle. He says all these lines are connected to the hub in the middle. That hub in the middle is the relationship between all the branches of Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since we are all connected to one source, we are all considered one. And this, in Rabbi Simcha's philosophy, is the concept of Avas Yisrael. We love every Jew because we combine together and unite to form one inseparable, indivisible unit, one entity. That's why, for example, Chazal point out that with regard to the Bnei Esav, they are called Nefashos. That's a pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Vav. But with regard to Yaakov Avinu, it says B'shivim Nefesh at the beginning of Shmos. Nefesh in Lashon Yochid. Because what's unique again about Bnei Yaakov is that since they all commit themselves to worship one God, they are all considered one entity. V'nechshavim kulam ki echad. So the opening part of the pasuk, enumerating Rasheichem Shivteichem as representatives of the Klal, really sheds a light on this entire bris, because we move on from the Klal to the Prat, and the Prat are considered part of one Klal, and that gives the authority, as we said before, to Rasheichem Shivteichem to impose a Shvua on every member of Klal Yisrael, because the Prat becomes united with the Klal. We are all one. We are all Mekusharim. And why? Because we're all different branches and different lines that lead up to one common hub, one common Merkaz, and one Nefesh. We are called one Nefesh. And that's called Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem here. In the Pasuk it says, Li'avrucha bebris Hashem bo'olaso, Asher Hashem Elokeichem koreis, etc., etc. And all this sheds a light on the opening verse in Parshas Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. The Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem creates the Kulchem, and that means that the Klal and the Prat are really one and the same. So we can start with the Klal, because they have the vested authority, as we said before, to impose the Shvuah and create and clinch this covenant. But we end with the Prat, because the Prat is really the Klal, because Kol Yisrael, Ish, all of Klal Yisrael are considered one Ish. So when the Pasuk says, Kol Ish Yisrael, in the beginning verse opening this parasha, we dash it, it says, Rav Meir Simcha, that the Kol means the connection between all of the individuals, and we get Ish Mi Yisrael. Ish Yisrael in the singular, we are one body, and we are undivided. Now I would like you to fast forward in the same chapter to Psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. And we have a very, very strange kind of pasuk. The Torah, beginning with pasuk Tesvav, if you have the Chumash open to you, is discussing the influences of the Goyim, the nations around us, Shikutseyem in pasuk Tesayim, Giluleyem, Eitz Evin, etc., the Avodah Zarah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Moshe, says, Pen Yeshbachem Ish, and perhaps there's someone here in the audience amongst Klal Yisrael Asher, Levavo Ponea Yomim Hashem, Lavadas Elohei Agoyim, Ahem, etc., etc. And then it says, Pen Yeshbachem Shoresh Pore Rosh Velano. And Shoresh Pore Rosh Velano, which I'll give you the English translation. We're talking about, I don't have it right in front of me this second, but in any event, different kinds of rotten and bitter growths or vegetations or herbs. And then the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Yudches, V'haya b'shamoes divrei olazos, when this individual who's got those rotten roots of Shoresh, Pore Rosh Velana, these bitter roots, because he has an inclination towards Avodah Zorah, and he's going to say, Visparech bol volo limor shalom yeli, I will live in peace, Bishrirus li bi'eleich, I'll worship the gods that I want to worship. And then, let's count the last five words in this pasuk, Leman Sfo Sarava Es Hatzmeo. So reading the English of Pasuk Yudches, it will be that when he hears the words of these oaths, he will bless himself in his heart, saying, peace will be with me. I will walk as my heart see fits, thereby adding the drunk with the thirsty. Harava, the drunk with the thirsty. One of the most difficult psukim to translate. And if you take a look in Targum Onkelos, which Rashi quotes, he says that the word Sfas indicates Yosaf, to add. In other words, Hashem is saying, I'm going to add to the punishment, says Rashi, because even though a person sometimes is guilty, b'shogeg, of an unintentional violation, God says, I will punish him as if he were a mazit. Normally I would have overlooked his crime because he did it unintentionally, but now he did something that caused me to combine his averos of shogeg with those of mazid, and will be punished not only for those crimes that were intentional, but even for those that were unintentional. So in other words, the word rava, Rashi tells us, drunk, refers to unintentional sins. Like a person who's drunk, he's inebriated, he is not intentional about his actions. But hatzmeya is a person who's thirsty, meaning this is the mazid, those sins that are committed because of a person's thirst, his intense desire out of his taiva. And Hashem says, Laman Sfos Harava Es Hatzmeya. As Uncle says, Sfos means Lahosif, to add, and I'm going to add the Rava, which refers to the averos b'shogeg of a drunk person, unintentional, and integrate them with the tzmeya, with those averos that are perpetrated out of tzimaon, out of a great thirst, out of a great desire, and they are perpetrated b'mezit. The Ramban accepts Unkelus's translation of Rava, that Rava means that it's beyond, it's a tosefes. And he speaks about a mashal, which he says, the Ramban says, is in this pasuk, that if you water a plant, sometimes hatsmea, the plant is still unsatisfied, it wants more water, and a person sometimes desires more than he really needs. He could have been satisfied with X amount of pleasures in life, but he has this desire that enters into his heart, and he wants to indulge this desire. He wants to add even more. He sort of stimulates or jacks up his desire in his soul. He becomes very thirsty. Tzmea, he wants more and more pleasure. He desires that which is evil, says the Ramban. And the sin that's generated by this offender is the need that he created for himself based on his desire. And because of this desire, he's in a spiral, says the Ramban, downward spiral. And therefore the punishment is very severe. Let's take a look at Rabbi Simcha. Rabbi Simcha, as usual, has an original approach to the Pasuk. And I have to tell you, by way of introduction, that I find this particular presentation, Rabbi Simcha, very atypical of the Meshech Chachma, in my humble opinion. Rarely does Rabbi Simcha address his contemporary evildoers, so to speak. But he sees in this Pasuk, Leman Sfos HaRavas HaTzmeya, that the Torah is addressing those evildoers that are so common in Rav Meir Simcha's contemporary life. Now, if you turn the clock back to the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century, you're talking about the Reform movement. And the Chasam Sofer, as you know, who was an older contemporary of Rav Meir Simcha, fought and dedicated his whole life to battle against the Reform. And he used to apply the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. That the Reform tried to change and substitute what they thought was the contemporary correct approach to piety and to religiosity. He says, Yitochen, it's possible, and we've seen that word many times, Al Derech HaDrush, Ki Hasifri Doresh Visartim in a derech leches lavod Elohim achirim, came in Shasartim in a derech, Shuvatem ovdim Elohim achirim. He warns us that those who will go off the path, the way the Torah wants us to go on a straight path, and that's why we study Torah to learn which path we should be taking, those who veer to the right or to the left, they want to come up with their own innovations and insights as to how to worship God, be careful. They'll end up worshiping Elohim Achirim, other gods. Yesh Anashim, and I think he's addressing his contemporary people, Asher Omrim, they say the following. This is their Ashkofa. Mazeh Derech, what's the big deal to approach religious observance and his carousel kim to get close to God by being pious? Ha'im Zepela, meaning, is this such a great achievement? Kiyatzom Einov, these are the pious Jews, the Orthodox Jews, we'll call them, who close their eyes so they shouldn't see any evil or immorality. The Yigdar Ataiva, and thereby they discipline themselves. Yarbe B'limut, and all they do is sit and learn Torah. Yasmin B'tfila, they find themselves locked up in the Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses. And that's how they achieved Dveikus Tashem. That is a pele? That's an accomplishment? You give a person a grade because he closes himself off. He insulates himself totally from the outer surrounding. And he dedicates himself day and night to learning in the Beis HaMedrash. That's the way these reformers will portray the Orthodox Jews. That's nothing, they say. Ella, no, we have the right way. We got the new way. Let's go out into the marketplaces and into the streets. And we'll find our lady friends over there that we're not allowed to have relations with. And I'll enjoy my pleasures. Nevertheless, Yosef Omas Beyurus Hashem, we are pious. Hachuza Omek Belevavo Kegacheles Bishalheves, because these religious beliefs are so deep and profound in our hearts. Halavai, the Reform today, should fit into the description of his contemporary Reform Jews. The Oz Nala Mailod Ain Mispar, if we do this, we'll be able to reach higher and higher heights. So the Torah says, Pein yesh bachem, perhaps you those who will say, Shalom yeli, how will I achieve shalom? Shalom means shlemus. How will I achieve perfection in my religious life? Ki b'shriris libeilech, l'chamem ha-taiva l'hagdil ha-medora, I will heat up my desires. V'oz yeah to'elios, now I'll achieve my goal. L'man sfos ha-ravos ha-tzmea. Pirush, what does that mean? Laman svos harava es atzmeya. Kimo chazir. Like, let's say, for example, something like pig's meat. Kayotzi b'zeh. Nafsha shaladim kotzimihem. They don't know schar al aprisha. How much reward are you going to get for avoiding, you know, eating bacon? You have no desire to eat pig's meat. But im osif al tavasi, if I will intensify my urges and my desires, agare yitzri bahem. Oh, if now I'm going to intensify my natural desires and urges, then halohu akol, then I'll achieve greatness. Chado ve'etol schar kulam. And I will get the rewards for all my great deeds. And Hashem says to them, Lo yova Hashem sloach lo, ki oz yeshan af Hashem. God says, I promise you, this is not the approach. This is not what we should be doing. And you're creating a chadash, you know, a new approach to serve God. We say, al tevi'enu lidei nisayon. We try to avoid exposing ourselves to arayos and to shvakim and rechovos and to stimulate our taivas and our desires. No. And therefore Hashem promises, I will not forgive such a behavior, such an attitude. Now at this point we have to open up the Chumash and read the Psukim here in Perek Chavtes. And there's an entire section here. And it reaches its culmination in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. So we may have to work a little bit backwards. He says that there's a very strange reference here to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ozvu es bris Hashem, for those who have neglected and violated, breached the covenant, asher karas imam b'hotzi'o osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, a reference to the bris that follows Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayelchu vayavdu alehim achirim vayishtachvu lehem alehim, etc., etc. God gets very angry, and then he brings about the kloa, the curse, chas v'shalom. And then it says in Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Vayitshem Hashem me'al admasam, and God removed the people from the land of Israel. So he starts with the concept of bris, the specific bris that Klal Yisrael entered into following Yetzias Mitzrayim. God redeemed us from Egypt. We entered into a covenant. And that was the covenant at Har Sinai, just a mere 7 weeks after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what's the emphasis here on violating that bris after Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says Rav Meir Simcha, Yisrael hayu anusim al habris. We cannot be held responsible for violating the covenant which we entered into and the commitment that we entered into at the time of Har Sinai following Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because, you know what? We really didn't have much choice. We had to enter into the Bris. We had the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, following in hot pursuit behind us. And we needed a miracle to save us from everything that surrounded us. And then Hashem picks up the mountain, hovers it on top of the heads of the Jewish people. Nasa v'nishma. What's the choice? If you don't enter into the bris without a commitment, God is going to drop the mountain on your heads. Mikan, says the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Gemara, Modar Rabba Lo Raisa. Modar means that if I'm compelled under duress to enter into a sale, and I tell two witnesses, look, this sale I'm entering, I'm selling my land under duress, then the sale is batel. So the whole covenant, which was ba'ones, under duress, is Modar Rabba Lo Raisa. So how do we understand that God takes us to task for violating this bris, when the bris from the get-go was entered into as a commitment under duress? And it's not valid. It's not binding. It's a Modar Rabba Lo Raisa. Says Rabbi Simcha, the answer is, and there's only one fundamentally correct answer, and that's the Rashba. The Rashba says that all these punishments that we're learning about here in Parshas Nitzavim are not punishments at all. Punishments for what? For violating the bris? The bris was a Modar Rabba Lo Raisa, it was ba'onis. But rather, this is a violation, if we don't live up and implement the will of God, of the original condition of the gift. What gift? The gift of the land of Israel. Shenosan Hashem Yisbarach es ha'aretz, says the Rashba, al menas, on the condition, sheyishmu abriso. You want to receive the land of Israel as a gift? Well, if I'm giving you a gift, these are the conditions that I have the right to set forward, and you have to abide by my 613 precepts, otherwise the deal is off. The gift is invalid. In Kenk Sheyavru, if they violate, is Batla Matana. The gift is completely null and void. Why? Because I only gave you the land under those conditions. You didn't fulfill the conditions. Then the gift is completely invalid. Now we can understand the Seder HaPesukim in our parasha here in Nitzavim. B'eis Hotziosam Eretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk refers Hotziosam Eretz Mitzrayim. That's pasuk of Dalid. Why? Because Karas Imoim Bris. And now, the Jewish people are going to say, well, we only accepted and entered into this covenant because of the duress. It was bonus. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Batla HaMatana. If Batla HaMatana, the Matana, the gift of the land, is completely void, now I can understand the Pasuk. Let's take a look again inside at the Torah, at the Chumash. It says in Pasuk Chav Zayin. Well, actually, we'll start a little bit earlier in Pasuk Chav Beis. And it says, Gofris v'melech Srefa kol Arza. I will burn up the land. Everything is emphasis, the emphasis on the land, on the Arza. And he compares it to, contrast it to Ma'pechas Zdom v'Amora. We're also, God gets angry. But there, in the case of Apechas Sdom V'Amora, God's anger is meted out at Sdom, meaning at the people themselves. But in the beginning of Pasuk Chof Beis, as a punishment, so to speak, but it's not really a punishment according to the Rashba, for the Jewish people who violated the Torah, it's Sreifa Kol Arza. It's the land that will not produce. And the emphasis again in Pasuk of Zayin, Vayitshem Hashem Yal Admosam Bi'af Ubechem Uveketzav Gadol. God will send you out of the land will vomit you forth. He says, Shapir, he says, Shapach Apo V'chamoso Al Ha'aretz Levad. God meets out his anger on the land itself. Locust stone, in contrast with stone. Stone, are going to be destroyed together with the land. But in the case of the Jewish people, it's Vayashlichem el Eretz Acheres in Pasuk Zayin, that now the Jewish people will have to go into exile, and they'll have to be aliens in different lands. And lo kayom hazeh, not like on this day when God took you out of Mitzrayim and he wanted to bring you, and that was the original plan, to the land of Israel. He will bring you to the land of Israel. And now Hashem says, if you violate my covenant, then the deal is off and the land is off. Okay, now let's see if we can fast forward to Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis. Now, Rav Meir Simcha on Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis has pages upon pages. I spent as much time as I possibly had in going through these pages. What I'd like to do is just share with you that which I was able to take from this presentation. The Pasuk says, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. So in Perek Lamed, at the very beginning of that chapter, and we're talking about tshuva, about V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. So Rabbi Simcha quotes a very, very famous Medrash and Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is in the second chapter of Makkos. They asked Chochma. Chochma is now an abstract concept like a sar or a malach of wisdom. Chote my onsho. What will be the punishment meted out to a sinner? And according to one version, which is in the Yerushalmi, Chachma responds by quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, Chatoim Tirdof Ra'ah, according to the Girsa in the Yalkut. Chachma responded by saying, Anefesh Achotas Hi Tamus, quoting a pasuk in Yechezkel, Finito, that's all. If you sin, you lose your right for life itself. You forfeit the right to exist, to live. Pirush, below tshuva, unless you do tshuva. Now they ask the same question, addressing it to Torah, and the Torah responds, Yavi Karban. Let him bring a Karban. So Rabbi Simcha says, first of all, we have to understand on a halachic level, if this person is guilty of as a sinner, then we can't accept his Karban. He's called a Mumar. And the answer is no, he's a Mumar L'Dover Echad. He Chas Shom, he didn't deny and violate the entire Torah, the entire canon of 613. He violated one Avera. He ate chalev, so he's a mumar l'dover echad. And the Gemara tells us in Chulin that if he's a mumar l'dover echad, we can accept his karban. Then they asked the same question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Yase tshuva v'yiskaper, let him do tshuva, and that's it. So first of all, Rav Meir Simcha points out that even if he was a mumar for any of the three of the cardinal sins, even if he was a mumar to violate the Shabbos, nevertheless, we have two opinions. According to one, he's a mumar l'kol tarkula. According to another opinion, he's only a mumar l'dover echad. But we give him the right to do tshuva. And this comes from a pasuk in Tehillim, Yorech HaToim Badorech, God will teach the derech HaTshuva for those who violate the Torah. So now we start this parsha, this perek, and perek lamed va'yikiv olech nishizazom vashevosa el livavecha. And Rav Meir Simcha says that vashevosa el livavecha is a relation between our heart, the Jewish heart, and its love for all Jews. Meaning that, as we said at the beginning, in his opening presentation to Parashas Nitzavim, there's a mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, and we all are, as we said before, spokes in the wheel leading to one central hub, and we're all one indivisible nation, and that's Avos Yisrael. And that's Vashivosel of Avecha. That's the lev of Klal Yisrael, which represents symbolically the lev of Avos Yisrael. And with this Avos Yisrael, we link ourselves into an infinite entity called Knesset Yisrael that spans all generations. And that's going to be the, shall we say, the, how do you say it in English, the jump off point, you know, that's the projectile that brings us to the next level, which is V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. So we begin with V'shevosa El V'vecha, with Avos Yisrael, we link ourselves as individuals to the Klal, and then we're ready in Pasuk Beis for V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha to do tshuva for our individual sins. Now, you got to put three stars over here. This is the end of paragraph number one. At this point, and for the balance of a very long presentation, Rav Meir Simcha is interested in the concept of tshuva. Tshuva as an entity. And he says the following. That Moshe Rabbeinu is up on Har Sinai. The people worship the Egel. And Hashem says to him, Lech Reid, go down. And the Medrash in the Tanchuma, in the Parsha Kitisa, the Parsha of Chet HaEgel, opens up with the pasuk that says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lech ale mizeh, and then raid lech raid. So there was a shas ratzon when God was very happy and he was satisfied with Klal Yisrael, lech ale, and now Hashem is totally disappointed, he's angry at Klal Yisrael, lech raid. What is the connection, asked Rav Meir Simcha, between these two moments in the divine relationship to Klal Yisrael, the Lech Aleh at the beginning and the Lech Reid at the end? In order to answer that question, he introduces a Medrash, and the Medrash is also quoted in a slightly different version in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah at the beginning of the Masechta Daf Dalet. And you'd really have to rack your brains to figure out what the Chazal are talking about here. Chazal are looking for paradigms of tshuva, which will inspire us to do tshuva. How do we imitate tshuva? And it says, Lo haya David roi lioso maisa, v'lo haya Yisrael ru'uyim lioso maisa. The two cases of sins that are used as paradigms for tshuva are number one, David HaMelech and the sin of Bathsheba, and number two, Klal Yisrael and the sin of the Egel. And in both cases, the Gemara tells us, Lo hayu ra'uyim li'oso maisa. It's almost impossible to translate that into English. What do you mean they weren't worthy of that action? I mean, they were guilty of those crimes. Elulama asu. So why and how are these two cases paradigms for our tshuva? And the answer is, because David HaMelech is called a Chet Yachid, and if we want to learn how to do tshuva, we have to be inspired by David HaMelech, that's on an individual level, and Chatu HaTzibur, then Klach L'Chayitz El Tzibur, then go and study the paradigm of a chet of a tzibur and the kapara, the tshuva thereon, and that is for chet egel. That's a chet of a tzibur. So Meir Simcha is trying to understand what exactly are Chazal trying to convey here by looking at these two paradigms of tshuva, of the yachid of David HaMelech and of the tzibur of the chet ha'egel. What is unique about these two sins and the kapara that God grants to atone for these two sins that is meant to inspire us to levels of tshuva? And he believes that the key of keys, based on a gemara at the end of Masechta Yoma, is a concept called Shuvas HaMishkol. And once again, the English translation doesn't do justice, as always. And that is, Mishkal means when you have two sides of a scale, and you weigh one against the other. And the Gemara says, Hechi Dami Bal Tshuva, can you give me some sort of paradigmic vision of a perfect Bal Tshuva on the highest level, a genuine repentance? And Rabbi Yochanan says, it's Bioso Makom, Bioso Isha, Bioso Perek. And the Gemara says that's called Tshuvas HaMishkal. And the Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Tshuva in the second paragraph, in the second chapter. So what is Tshuvas HaMishkal? Bioso Makom, Bioso Maimed, Bioso Isha, and Bioso Perek. A person does an Avera, and he feels regret. He's got to demonstrate that if he finds himself in the exact same scenario with all the desires and all the factors existing, he nevertheless desists from sin. That's the level of tshuva called Tshuvas HaMishkal. And that's Rabbi Yochanan's answer to the question of Hechi Dami Bal Tshuva. Who can actually reach this level of a Bal Tshuva? And I have to be honest with you. I think, if I'm reading correctly between the lines, with limited liability, I think what Meir Simcha is implying over here, how can you expect a person to even find himself in such a scenario? What is he meant to do? He had a relationship with a woman, and it was an immoral relationship. What is he meant to do? To recreate all the elements and all the atmosphere, and then desist and overcome his Yetzer? That's the paradigm? Says Rav Meir Simcha. Let's not get depressed. Let's not be forlorn and despair about tshuva based on the standards of Rav Yochanan of Tshuvas HaMishkal. Let's look at David and the Chet HaEgel. Nisbonei na b'chet shel David. Now, if you had to classify the sin of David HaMelech, after all, Bathsheba was married to Uriah Hittite, you would classify it as Gilui Arayos. Nay, it's not so. Chazal tell us in Masechta Gittin and in other places that based on the pasuk that Nosan Anovi says to David HaMelech, Osa lakachta lecha, this is the woman that you took. Now, again, you translate the word lakachta into English as taken or took, but Chazal say that the word lakicha, with regard to a wife, is a very technical term in Jewish law, and it means it was a legal marriage. Lekuchen yesh lecha ba. You did not have a relationship with a married woman, you had a relationship with a woman that you took as a wife. The osa lakachta lecha isha. And when you married her, it was before you sent Uriah out to the front lines to find his death, so how could this be? So the Gemara answers that call a Yotze Lemelchemes Beis Yisrael get krisis nosein liishto. So Uriah Chiti, following the requirement of anyone going out to the battle, he writes a get, gives it to the Bezdin. The Bezdin serves as the Shliach to receive that get on behalf of his wife, just in case he doesn't show up after the battle. So if he dies in battle, then retroactively the get is chal, is valid, from the time the get was deposited in the hands of the Bezdin. And it's exactly what happened in the time of Uri Achiti. He deposited the get in the hands of Bezdin, and he was killed in battle. And again, the reason for this get is because we want to avoid aguna and avoid yibum and many different reasons. Therefore, when David HaMelech had a relationship with Elishama, at that point, she was already a divorced woman, and there was no avera here of Gilui Arayos. So what then was the nature of the avera, the terrible sin of David HaMelech? And Tosus says the sin was Chil Hashem. Because in the eyes of the spectator, David HaMelech took advantage of the situation. He wanted to have, he desired a relationship with this woman, with Bathsheba, and therefore he sends Uriah out to the front lines. That's a Chil Hashem. The Navi who castigates David HaMelech, he speaks about Gezel, Lekicha, he gives an old mashal, the Kivsa, that was taken away from a rich, from the rich person, it's a poor person. But never mentions Snus or Gilead Arayis. So Rabbi Simcha says, Hanira Li, it seems to me that with regard to the tshuva of David HaMelech for the Avera of Bathsheba, the Torah, the Tanakh emphasizes that there was no possibility of tshuva samishka. Tshuva HaMishkal would have required that David grant a divorce to Bathsheba. But that was not a possibility. Why? Why couldn't David HaMelech give a divorce to Bathsheba and demonstrate Tshuva HaMishkal? That if I had a desire to have a relationship with this woman now, I've overcome that desire, I'm sending this woman on her way. Let someone else marry him. And the answer is that's impossible. Because of a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that Asur, you're not allowed to marry Ishto Shel Melech. Because that's equivalent to Mishtabesh Bisharvito Shel Melech. So again, Rabbi Osir, we don't have time to go into all these details, but to highlight it, if David HaMelech would have granted a divorce to Bathsheba, she would not be able to marry another man. She would be an Aguna Kol Yomel. And therefore, just because he wants to do a Tshuva HaMishkal, he's going to set her up as an Aguna. She won't be able to marry anyone for the rest of her life. Oh, no, no, no. That wasn't a possibility. Lachain, and I'm quoting here Rabbi Simcha for those who want to see it inside. Lo hoya befshari lasos Tshuva HaMishkal legarsha. David HaMelech now becomes the paradigm of a Baal Tshuva who has no possibility to avail or implement what we call Tshuva HaMishkal. David HaMelech declares in Sefer Tehillim, Chatosi kenegdi samit. I constantly am aware of my sin. And there's not going to be any possibility of a Tshuva HaMishkal. And yet, despite all that, David HaMelech becomes a paradigm of Tshuva. David HaMelech is teaching us a very important lesson. That we can maximize tshuva in a case where it's impossible and there's no efsharut to do tshuva HaMishkal, and I'll do whatever I can do. I'll cry and I will regret and so forth, all the different parts of tshuva, and God will forgive me for my sin, even when in the absence of Tshuva HaMishkal. So Rabbi Yochanan in the Masechet Yuma is telling us that if all things are equal and there's a possibility of Tshuva HaMishkal, that's the best. How you set that up, don't ask me. But if there's no possibility of Tshuva HaMishkal, the door is closed, then if the Yochid sins, let him learn from the chait of the Yochid of David HaMelech what tshuva is all about. And we learn many things about the tshuva, about tshuva from David HaMelech, because he represents that paradigm of someone who is guilty of a sin and is robbed of any possibility of tshuva HaMishkal. And in the case of Klal Yisrael, what caused them to sin? The pasuk says in Parashas Ki Tisa, Ki Boshesh Moshe Loredes. Moshe didn't come down from the mountain. And they had calculated that the 40 days had come to a completion. And the Satan shows them the bier, the coffin of Moshe Rabbeinu flying through the air. And this is what we call the Koach HaMesis. That in the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole fundamental underlying yesod on which they would build their service to Hashem, Zeh Moshe Ish, this is the Moshe, lo yadanu mahayalo, we don't know what happened to him. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu who came down from the mountain to give us Torah, and now he's gone. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu that led us through the Midbar for 40 years. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Reid. Lech Reid means the following. That when you get down the mountain, you are going to close the door in front of Klal Yisrael for Tshuvas HaMishkal, because their chait was a result of your absence. Now Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain and he declares, Atem chatasim chata gedola. You have sinned a very terrible sin. And now I'm down with you. You see that I'm alive. Where's the Tshuvas HaMishkal? Because the chait itself was based on the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now Moshe is present. So Moshe adds more to his sentence. And he says, V'ata el el Hashem ulay achapra. I'm going to go up to the mountain. I'm going to stay there another 40 days. And perhaps, during my absence, you'll do tshuva. And you'll realize that you are guilty of drachim mekulkalim. And that would be tshuvas HaMishkal. Hashem says, no. Lech Ale, go up the mountain. And your going up the mountain will be equal to Lech Yerev, Lech Re'ev, because there's no possibility of Tshuvas HaMishkal. In the first case, when you went up the mountain, Klal Yisrael was worried that maybe you wouldn't come down from the mountain, and that you were gone. But in the second case, after you came down from the mountain, and you went back up, there's no possibility of Tshuvas HaMishkal, because they know that you're coming down for the mountain. And the Satan wasn't even a masis to try to tempt them to think that Moshe Rabbeinu has gone beyond his stay of 40 days on the mountain. Lachain, therefore, says Rav Meir Simcha, at the end of this very long presentation, Be'ofen she'ein bi'ad ha'odam lasos Tshuvas HaMishkal karoi. If a person doesn't have the accessibility, the possibility of Tshuvas HaMishkal, which is the perfect ideal tshuva, Marim lo mi David v'Yisrael. Lo haya David roi, lo haya Yisrael ruyim. That was the lashon of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we began with. They weren't ruyim to Tshuvas HaMishkal. They didn't have that possibility. That door was closed. But we're going to show you dafka from David and Klal Yisrael, the Yochid and the Tzibur, that Shavto Ad Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bochein Kloyos V'Lev. He knows that you have genuine tshuva. And God testifies that if you had the possibility of Tshuvas HaMishkal, you would certainly avail yourself. You will not go back to redo the sin, because your sincerity, your tshuva is so genuine and so profound. So that's for Parshas Nitzavim. Now, we fast forward to Parshas Vayelech, because we have two Parshas in Shabbos. I don't want to leave out Vayelech. So let's open up to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and very shortly I'll take questions if anybody wants to ask, but let me just finish one more piece so that I know I covered my base for Parshas Vayelech. So we're in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And the Pasuk says, V'chora pi bo b'yom ahu v'azavti v'starti panai mehem. And the Torah says that we have to do tshuva. Niskashu rab, as if to say there's an old question, and I'd like to give my answer to that question. Amaylo moyel atshuva. Why, in this case, the Torah says that v'starti panai, I will turn the other way, and there's no tshuva, because we declared ki ein elokai bekirbi mitzauni aros, and Hashem continues, even after the people of Israel confess that God is no longer with us. V'anochi aster aster panai. So Meir Simcha says that in order to answer that question, we have to ask a more fundamental question. Why is tshuva considered a mitzvah? A person deviated and violated the will of God. That very mitzvah, whether it's an essay or a lota, is still binding. The fact that he violated the mitzvah doesn't mean that he's not obligated. He's mitzuva v'omed, and he remains commanded and enjoined from violating the mitzvah of Hashem. So just because he violated the mitzvah of Hashem, we're going to tell him that he's allowed to violate it again and again? Lo saka daitoch, that's not a thought that should cross your mind. So that, forget about the mitzvah of tshuva. Even in the absence of the mitzvah of tshuva, I'm obligated to desist because of the avera that still obligates me. The fact that I violated the avera doesn't mean that therefore I'm exempt from the avera. Hinei ha'azar ha'rishonim onas micheto terem shechato onas micheto gam li'acharachet. The same azhara that the Torah warns me and prohibits applies even after I sin. Omnam, he says, mitzvah ha'tshuva, what is the essence of the mitzvah of tshuva? Asher al zetzarch mitzvah pratis, the Torah had to add another mitzvah of tshuva. Why not just suffice with the mitzvah that he violated? Who? She'im chata v'ozev escheto mitzvah lisvatos. Obviously, he has to desist from sin. But here the Torah commands us in vidui. Lahagid lifnei Hashem, ki yodea bi'atzmo shechot. He has to declare and admit in front of Hashem, yes, hakaras hachet, I realize that I sin. And number two, umevakesh kapora. And he has to ask and beg for atonement. And these are the two elements that are critical to understand the essence of tshuva as a mitzvah unto itself. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that if a person violates an avera and he does tshuva, then chayav lisvados lifnei Hashem yisparach. He has a chiyuv of vidui. And the Rambam derives the mitzvah of tshuva from the pasuk v'svado eschatosa. And Rabbi Meir Simcha quotes the Sefer HaChinuch, who embellishes the Rambam and says that he has to be Mavakesh Kapora. Aval Atshuva Biatzma, the fact that he has to desist from sin, which we call Siluk HaChet, Ein Lach Shiva LeMitzvah Chadosha. That's not a separate mitzvah. Zulas atzivuyim, in addition to all the other mitzvahs that we have, that we've already been commanded. So to summarize what we've said here, Rameir Simcha, there is no separate mitzvah of tshuva that would obligate us as a separate independent mitzvah to desist from sin. What we call siluk hachet. Because that's built into every single mitzvah, whether it's an essay or lota say in and of itself. The mitzvah of tshuva as a separate mitzvah on top generates a chiyuv of vidui and bakoshas kapora. Those are the two critical elements. What I'd like to do now, again, there's a long hemshech here to the piece, the presentation, is to take a little bit of a break. And I would like you to perhaps ask some questions or add some comments to embellish what we did so far.
Roberto.
Yes, please. Chaim, I think I hear your voice.
Good, yeah, it's me.
And the technology is working. Right.
I want to go back to the list of the klal and the yachid at the beginning of your shiur.
Sure.
I don't know how good a question this is, But amongst the Yachid, which are all in the Shon Rabin, is Nashechem, which is the Shon Yachid.
Right. Nashechem, Tapchem, V'gercha Asher B'kerev Machanecha, etc.
Right. Only Nashechem is in the Bro.
I think the word Nashechem here means many, in other words, respective to each person who is married to his wife, so we have Nishechem, but the Nishechem doesn't mean like Rashechem and Shiftechem, one entity representing the Tzibur, but rather it means the plural of, so to speak, many different wives. I mean, I shouldn't say many different wives because I'm talking after Cherem Derabbeinu Gesh, but I mean, you know, Reuven has his wife and Shimon has his wife, and then there are single girls who are not married at all.
Okay, I gotcha. Thank you.
Now, again, if anyone here has another 5 minutes, then I'd like to ask you to turn back to Parshas Nitzavim for a moment, to the Mitzvah of Tshuva, and take a look in the Chumash, in Perek Lamed, in this case, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So again, we're back to the Parsha of Tshuva, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki ha-mitzvah zos, which is a reference to tshuva, asher anochi mitzavcha yom lo niflesi mimcha lo rechokahi, etc. Lo v'shamayim. So Rabbi Meir Simcha has a very interesting insight here based on a diuk, based on a literary meticulous reading of the psukim. If you take a look here and fast forward just a few psukim here in Perek Lamed to Pasuk Tesvav, and it says, Re'ena sati lufanecha yom esachayim v'esatov, and now emphasize the last four words in the pasuk, v'esamoves v'esara. So you start with chayim and you end with Moves. Chaim is identified with Tov, and Moves with Ra. Says Rav Meir Simcha, turn back for a moment, here in Sefer Dvarim, to the beginning of Parshas Ekev, and there, excuse me, there's a slightly different language if we compare the two. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chavav, it says, I'm sorry, I said Ekev, I meant to say the first Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and it says, Bracha Uklola. Do you notice that? There's no mention of Chaim and Moves. So Rabbi Meir Simcha says, Pirush mitzvah shel tshuva, Re'ena sati lfanecha yom, esachayim v'esatov, esamoves v'esara. U'meparashas re'ei, Omer re'ei anochi, Re'ena sati lfanecha yom, bracha uklola. Why is it that in re'ei it's called bracha uklola, and here in Parashas Nitzavim it's called chayim and moves? He says, Zeh kodem sha'omar mitzvah tshuva. The Pasuk in Re'ei is before, it's prior to the Mitzvah of Tshuva, which is given here in Pasuk Yud Aleph in Perek Lamed in Parshas Nitzavim. He says, Kevan Sha'omer Mitzvah HaTshuva, now that the Torah is presented here in Parshas Nitzavim, the Mitzvah of Tshuva, then we have something called Cheshbon and Din, or Din V'Cheshbon. Cheshbon is greater than Din. And Rav Meir Simcha has an entire discussion about this a little bit later on in Parshat Nitzavim, based on the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon says that Din is on our Averos, and Cheshbin is on the waste of opportunities to do mitzvahs. In other words, instead of using our energy and our time to implement mitzvahs, we use them for averos, and that's going to be a cheshbon. Says Rav Meir Simcha, once the Torah gives us the mitzvah of tshuva, here in Perek Lamed of Sefer Dvarim, Mitzvah Zos, now we have a cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? On every single avera we could have done tshuva. The din is on the avera itself, but there's a cheshbon, which is even worse than the din, and that says, why didn't you take advantage of the opportunity to do tshuva? Every avera follows with an opportunity to do tshuva. If we don't take advantage of that opportunity, that's called cheshba. Vizu avera gedola, that's even a worse avera. So the original choice was between bracha and klola. That's back in Parshas Re'eh. Now in Parshas Nitzavim, post tshuva, now we're stuck with Chaim and Moves. Ki im lo shav, because if he doesn't do tshuva, oz mea klola nases Moves chalila. So just from the level of curse, we get the ultimate curse, which is death. And that's because we've been given the mitzvah of tshuva, and if, heaven forbid, we don't take advantage of the mitzvah of tshuva, sha'amalo sheyoshuv, God commanded him to do tshuva, v'lo shav, is ha'avel yoser gadol. The Torah wants to indicate that now he's not only guilty for the din of the aver itself, that judgment, but also for cheshbin. Why? Because he was given the mitzvah of tshuva and he didn't take advantage of the mitzvah of tshuva. That's an even worse aver, because cheshbon is worse than din. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of using the word klola, he gives you the ultimate klola, the most severe and harsh klola, and that's moves. V'lachein misayim, ha'idosi b'chem ayom. Now I can testify on this day that I gave you the mitzvah of tshuva, ha'chaim ve'amoves, nasati lufanecha ha'brocha v'klola. Now the klola now is moves, and therefore, u'bacharta b'chaim, we have to choose life. Zem Musar Nora, he says, this is a very, very strong and powerful, threatening and almost terrifying Musashmuz. That Ubacharta Bachaim, you want to choose life, then you have to take advantage of the mitzvah of tshuva. Because in the absence of so, then not only do you have din, but worse than that, you have cheshbon. Because you did not take advantage of the opportunity to do tshuva. Rabbi Simcha alludes to the Sefer Ikrim. I'll just read to you the language of the Sefer Ikrim of Rav Albo. In Maimer Dal Perek Chaf Hei, he says, Kishe chipasnu kol ha-mitzvahs, mitzvah aseh shevatorah, lo matzinu mitzvah sheyizkeh odom bo bilvad letachlis ha-musag mitzad ha-torah ela ha-tshuva. Bezeshet tachlis hamechuvan b'torah ubasias mitzvoseha hu avas Hashem shehi ha-mevia es ha-odom l'schar gadol ha-mekava l'nefesh or mekuvas mekuva l'nefesh v'chein motzir b'inyan ha-tshuva shenichtav zeh ha-tachlis b'yatzmo b'parashas v'atem nitzovim v'zeh mimah Sheyora al godel malas hamitzvah zos kikshe iyanenu beparshas nitzovim heite matzonu shemashom rakosu reino sati lufanecha asher noki mitzavcha yom liavos hashem lekech lishmo bekolov vidlodov kabo midabra la tshuva lufi hemshech haparsha vikishura vizel shebitchil omar veshavtos asher ad hashem lekech veshamata bekolo. Sefer ha'ikrim shel Rav Albo. So in other words, based on the Ramban, he says that there's no question that the mitzvah here indicated in the words in Perek Lamed of Sefer Devarim, Parshas Nitzavim, ki mitzvah zos is the mitzvah of tshuva. Okay then, so let's just review what we covered today. We have actually, I believe we covered over six different paragraphs and presentations of the Meshech Chochmah 5 in Parshas Nitzavim, an additional one in Parshas Vayelech, to round it off at the number 6. And in 5 out of these 6 cases, we covered the entire presentation. In one case, we sort of tried to highlight the main points of Rav Meir Simcha. So we started with the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, and that was Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Tes. And that was a presentation about the difference between the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, the Mitzvos HaTzibur, as opposed to the Yachid, and both combined together for one entity, and enter into the Bris of Hashem. Then in the same chapter, Chof Tes, we fast-forwarded to Pasuk Yud Zayin, and we tried to understand, according to Rav Meir Simcha's original perspective on Laman Sfos HaRavas HaTzmeya. We said he was really addressing a contemporary attitude of the sinners. He calls them those who try to stimulate their own taivas, and God's angry about that new derech. And then we fast forward in the same chapter to Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and we spoke about Klal Yisrael as Anusim and the Modar Rabbi Loraisa, because they were forced under the rest to enter into the Bris, but as the Rashba says, this was set up as a Tanai for the gift of Eretz Yisrael, and so many of the Psukim now fit into place based on these Diyukim and the meticulous readings of Rameir Simcha. Then we went on to Perek Lamed of Sefer Dvarim, the Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, and we spoke about the two paradigms of tshuva which don't lend themselves to tshuva samishkol, and that's David HaMelech in the case of the Yochid, and Chet Egel in the case of the Rabim, no possibility of tshuva samishkol, but nevertheless, these are paradigms of genuine, sincere tshuva that we should be inspired by. And the last piece that we did in Parshas Nitzav was in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki HaMitzvah HaZos, in which Rav Meir Simcha, quoting the Sefer Ikrim, who in turn is based on the Ramban, that HaMitzvah HaZos is a reference to Tshuva, and the reason why here the Torah mentions Misa and Chaim, as opposed to Parshas Re'eh, where it's Bracha and Klola, is because we've jacked up the ante from a level of din to a level of cheshbon once the mitzvah of tshuva is given. If chas v'shalom we don't take advantage of the mitzvah of tshuva, that gives us cheshbon, which is worse than din. And finally, in Parshas Vayelech, in Perek Lamed Aleph, in this case, Pasuk Yud Zayin, we spoke about the Pasuk V'omar Bayom Ahu, and we spoke about the fact that Hester Ponim is the response of Hashem, a very harsh response, of course, but basically to define the mitzvah of tshuva as a separate mitzvah, and that's made up of two parts of vidui and bakoshas kapara. So that's where tshuva emerges as a separate independent mitzvah, even though every mitzvah requires us to do tshuva, in a sense that if we violate the mitzvah, we have to desist from the mitzvah. So we don't need tshuva as a separate mitzvah, except for these two unique dimensions and aspects of our obligation of vidui and bakoshas kapara. And unfortunately, we ran out of time, so we weren't able to finish this piece in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Od Moed. Maybe we'll get a chance. I want to take this opportunity to again wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech. We should be zochim, Mitzvah Hashem, to be uplifted by the messages here of Rav Meir Simcha, and of course of the parsha, and especially the Mitzvah of Tshuva, which is meant to project us through the coming days, starting in a week with Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Tshuva, culminating in Yom HaKippurim, of course, we should be zochet to enter into the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and re-enter into the bris and re-strengthen our commitment to that bris. Kein Yi Ratzon. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.